comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And because you matter, we publish something every week called the K-Files, and we send it out on Friday. Now, we've made a change in the schedule, and I'll tell you what the change is and why. The change in the schedule is when we send out the K-Files. Right now, it's experimental. We're trying it. I used to send it out on Friday night after the show. But that, well, I won't get into all the details of what that does, but that causes a ripple effect through the weekend while that computer is sending the K-Files. We can't use it for something else. It's tied up, okay? So what we do now in this experiment is we're sending out the K-Files before the show on Friday. So on Friday, but before the show. And then after the show, I start working on the updates for our K-Pods in the members area. Now, for those of you who don't know what K-Pods are, those are the archives. And why are they called K-Pods? Because they are podcasts. That means that what we do is we edit the commercial breaks out, and then we upload those into our archive section without the commercial breaks. And so I start working on that right after the show on Friday, and hopefully, if this works out, we can have the K-Pods updated by Saturday morning. We'll see. We hope we can do that. Now, you might think, well, there's nothing to it. You just take the breaks out. Oh, okay, you come do it, okay? You'll find out there is a lot more to it than you think. It's not hard, but it's time-consuming and has to be done. Speaking of the K-Pods, you know, we've had some fantastic shows this week, but we have fantastic shows every week. We have some of the best guests you will find anywhere in this genre, and they're not all big-name guests, although we could do that, but these are guests that have information to share that we think is interesting, important, you need to hear it, and then think about it, and then decide for yourself. But every show is captured, and we put that into the K-Pods, into the archives. And, you know, it's just another reason why you really ought to become a member. Then you have access to our archives. And we call them K-Pods because they are podcasts. You have two different menus from which to select them. One is just the standard web page type menu, and the other is an RSS feed type menu. And we invite you to share in them. We invite you to enjoy them. Some of them go all the way back to, I think, 2008, maybe 2007. All right, we'll be back right after this. My guest, Juju Lee, says she's a starseed. So let's find out what that is. my guest this evening is, and I perhaps will not pronounce this correctly, but we'll get her to tell us how you're supposed to say it, but I think it's pronounced Jujuli Kuita. Now, I may have that wrong, but we will get her to give us the correct pronunciation of that. She, on her website, talks about being a star seed. She talks about being from a planet other than Earth. And she talks about what her mission is here and why she is here. So, let's bring her online and let me ask, how do you say your name correctly?
You said it perfectly, Jujuli.
Jujuli.
My name is pronounced Kuita.
Say your last name again.
Kuita.
Kuita, okay. So the I is silent.
Yes, it would be.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jujuli, what you have on your website is not something that's completely foreign to my audience. This is something, it's within the genre of what we talk about. However, I'm quite certain that you're aware of the fact that when you put things like that on your website, there are people that raise an eyebrow or two and wonder just how real, how true all of that is. So this gives us an opportunity to ask you some questions, gives you an opportunity to answer the questions, and I don't want you to feel like it's adversarial. We ask because we don't know. And so I hope you don't mind being asked those questions.
Not at all. That's why I'm here.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
Do you mean off-planet or on-planet?
Either way. Both ways.
Well, I originated from the Midwest, and you know, I grew up human like a lot of people until I awakened later and all the puzzle pieces fit together, and have to be around a bunch of diversity to feel comfortable. So I moved out to California for a while, and then now I'm here in the desert in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The star side is from Andromeda, where I come from, a planet we call Fugui, and that was, and this is hard for me to even concept to speak articulately about or to have the words to describe it, but I know that when I left, my body did not die on my home planet. A piece of me came here to incarnate here, so not really sure how to describe all that, but anyway, it's I know a lot. I get a lot more memories and visions and remembering things the more I meditate and the more spiritual I become in this life. It's difficult being in a 3D environment.
All right, let me ask you this: are you what we would refer to as an ET human hybrid?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I know we had a friend of yours on the show, Cynthia Crawford.
Yeah.
And I had this on my list to ask her, and the show rolled along and picked up speed, and we just sort of passed over this, and I didn't ask her. So I want to ask you.
Okay.
If you are an ET human hybrid, which side has preeminence?
Well, that's a hard one even for us to answer because there's so many different degrees and blends and mixes. We don't even really know ourselves. It's something that we still awaken to, and I only say that because I talk to so many that are actually my friends as well, since we seem to be uniting the last couple of years, is that we're really learning ourselves more. Cynthia herself is three different types of DNA, and I'd say definitely on the outside, physical appearance. We have to fit in here just like everyone else. So that surface stuff is definitely the human part. And that doesn't say that everything internal now is going to be an ET part. We have to be able to survive in this world with everyone else. And, you know, if I had my tail, I wouldn't be able to sit in school and, you know, learn subjects like every other kid. You know, I'd be in a laboratory of some kind or military underground facility, and that would defeat our mission and our purpose for being here. So the human side really, you know, takes over and is dominant throughout your life until you awaken up, until you awaken to who you really are and become it, accept it and become it. And I think the more that I've accepted myself, I know I've been able to do more and connect more with my people, and more of my abilities have been coming out. Not saying that I have a lot. Everyone has their unique abilities, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel kind of like both, only because I know I can shapeshift involuntarily. I know that that's a big part of my DNA, to be able to do that. You can't be, you know, even an ET soul coming into completely 100% human body cannot shapeshift. They may have a what you call an energy of their being superimposed on top of them, but they can't actually physically shapeshift.
But you can.
Different ways.
You can shapeshift, right?
Yes, my ex actually saw me one morning about 3 a.m. Just saw me, I guess, full form in my reptilian body. And within 12 seconds, could see each part of the reptilian face and neck turn specifically into certain parts of my face. So it actually kind of morphed within 12 seconds back to the human-looking body.
Were you aware that you could do that? Before this event?
No, actually, I was not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people know these type of abilities they have, or their strengths, or their... A lot of people don't even know their star seeds. You know, until something like that happens, and then it's a huge chunk of the puzzle piece that you put together and go, wow, this is really looking good now. Now I understand why all these other things in my life took place. And it makes you feel empowered, and that's the whole point, is trying to help others awaken so they too feel self-empowered. You know, it's okay to be who you are and accept it. It's not that we're special or more important than anyone else. It's just to know who you are and accept it is very self-empowering as an individual.
All right, now, I know, because this information is on your website, that...
Uh-huh.
The name Zhuzhu Li is not the name that you carried from the time you were born. You were given another name. And then you adopted this name, Zhuzhu Li, at some point. Tell us, if you will, when and why.
It happened a long time ago. This is how I get a lot of my information and visions from my people, is that I meditate a lot ever since I... you know, became spiritual. I meditate more and more. And either through meditation, or right as I'm falling to sleep, or right as, you know, I'm waking up, that's that altered state where you get a lot of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that is specifically when I had my name spelled out in big, white, bold type letters right in front of my face, like a huge screen, just as I was waking up. And, you know, I didn't really know how to pronounce it until later on, when I started being able to speak a little of my language. Now I understand it's pronounced Zhuzhu Li, kind of Frenchy sounding, but
mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but it's not French. And yeah, so that's my reptilian name. It was given to me by my people, and I only have been using it recently because I had to find out what that name meant. I wasn't really sure. You know, I know that I don't know everything, so I too have to search and meditate and go within to find my own answers.
What does the name mean?
It's my name that I had that when I was on my planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I just carried that with me through my soul.
One of the things I've been broadcasting in this genre. It'll be 10 years next month.
Oh, congratulations!
Oh, well, thank you. So over the 10 years doing this night after night after night, I obviously have interviewed a lot of people, and
great mission.
Yeah, one of the things that I find in the I'll just use the term paranormal as a shorthand. One of the things I find in the paranormal genre is that there are a lot of people who change their name. And they don't use, and I'll use the term, their real name or their given name. And, you know, I wonder why. And let me give you an example of this. I'm part Celtic. I am part Cherokee Indian.
Good mix.
And I am part German that's not Celtic. And some other things. We won't get into all that, but here we go. So there's at least three different ethnicities that combine to make me.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody comes along and they say, hey, you want to go to the Celtic Heritage Festival? No, I'm not interested in that. You want to go to the German Heritage Festival? No, I'm not interested in that either. Hey, would you like to go to the powwow over at the reservation? No, I'm not interested in that. Why? Because I'm not Cherokee, I'm not Celtic, and I'm not German. I am me. And I'm trying to describe this to get your comment on it from your perspective. All right. So my attitude has been this. People say, well, don't you want to keep up with the heritage of your people? No. And the reason? Are any of them going to pay my bills? No, they're dead. They're not here. I'm here. Well, you need to keep up with the heritage from the old country. Why? If it was so good, why did we come here? If it was so good, why did my ancestors leave and come over here? I'm here.
Got a point.
Okay. So now my question is, within the paranormal realm, there are lots of people that change their names, and they will say, like as you did, well, this is who I was on the other planet. And the question is, if it was so good there that you want to call yourself by that name here, why did you leave?
That brings up a lot of stuff, and you have a very good point. It's good questions because it's good to think about these things, and to get the deeper meaning is great. It's good to have this perspective. Now, that name actually is me. It's a frequency. It's a resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And since I received my name, which is which connects me to that ET part, because I was awakening at the time, it's a higher frequency, and it's something that I resonate to. Unlike you not resonating to the German or Celtic or powwow festivals, you have to resonate. You have to follow your heart, and I really resonate to that name. And it helps me become more of who I am. And it's a tool, but it's also a part of a very intimate part of who you are. A lot of people, when they get into this field, it's a lot of people are very spiritual in this field because it's a great balance to search deep for answers, really connects you to the spiritual side. And once you start doing that, you really tap into a lot more information, and believe me, the more you tap into, the more you realize you don't know that you need to tap into or that you can. So it's so much out there, and when you start looking into it, things start coming to you because you know you're ready. Your higher self knows you're ready for the information, and then you start receiving it. And, you know, you can either shut it out or you can accept it and go on and let it take you where you're meant to go. And it's all about learning and growth. And for me, it's just, it's a higher vibration than my earthling name. I don't despise my earthling name. It's just, Jojali is my name. And
so when you sign the charge ticket at the store, you sign it Jojali or do you sign it Carrie?
I sign it my earthling name.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't done a legal name change to this?
No. Some people do. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about it. But I don't know. You know, I have to think about the passport thing because I would like to travel. And I think once you change your name nowadays, you have to wait 5 years to get a passport. They're really getting strict on these rules.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the rules are, a lot of people don't realize it. The rules are bending toward the direction of the way it used to be in the Soviet Union.
Oh.
Keep you in.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and it costs money, and, you have to go through the whole process of changing everything, and, you know, I'm just not at that point yet. I may.
The reason I'm asking these questions is because I want us to get a glimpse into your life as a starseed. I want to get a glimpse of that perhaps we couldn't get. Let me ask you this. Your friends, your close friends, do they call you Carrie or Jojali?
No, they call me Jojali. Actually, they call me Juju.
Juju, okay.
It's much easier.
All right. Now, how old were you when you began to discover that there was something else besides Carrie?
Oh, well, I have to say this, ever since I was born, I actually knew there was something that I couldn't see on this world. And I tried to look everywhere for it, not knowing what it was. So basically, since I can remember.
Okay, Jojali, I hate to interrupt, but we'll start there when we come back. A break has taken over, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening, Jojali, I think it's pronounced Kuta?
Kuta.
Kuta. Kuta. Okay.
But it's close enough, that's good.
All right, I'm going to make a note here. Kuta.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Tell us again the name of the planet you originated on.
It's called Fagui.
How do you spell it?
Well, in Earth letters, I guess you'd spell it F-A-Q-U-I. It's in the Andromeda Galaxy.
How much do you know about this planet?
Well, I learn more every day. If I meditate and ask my people for some information, I usually get some, but I got to live here and focus here. I know that I actually work on our moon, not on the planet itself, which is, the planet itself is like a very big tropical planet with a lot of water oases, and I'm not sure if they're oceans or pools, big pools of water, but a lot of beings from all over the place come to our planet as a type of vacation because of it's kind of like going to the beach, and I guess in Hawaii. And so I actually live on our moon. I live and work there because we have we're a major trade route depot. And that's actually where I know Cynthia from. I know her from her people stopping on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they would come and I always tell her when her people came, we kind of rolled out the royal red carpet for them because they're very high, very, very evolved people. And I see tons of different beings from all over the place and hear all types of languages from there. It's just really beautiful. That's why I have to be around diversity here on this planet.
And all right, now, what I'm about to say and what I'm about to ask you may at first sound way off the balance. But languages are something that I'm very interested in. I speak a bunch of languages.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and I read some other languages. Some of the languages I speak but do not read.
Wow.
This FAQUI is found in a... It may be more than one language here on Earth, but it is found in one for sure. I could only find it in one place, but it may be in some other languages.
Huh.
And it's in the Farsi language, which is Iranian.
Wow.
Now, here's the use of the word.
Okay.
It's a term that was coined by Ayatollah Khomeini. And it is a term that is shorthand for a doctrine that he taught that says that people are the property of the mullahs to be ordered around as they wish, and that this is by the orders of Allah.
Huh.
Okay, now the reason that I bring that up is because I'm wondering what the government or the social order is like on Faghwi. Is it democratic as we would understand it? Is it dictatorial as we would understand it? How are things run?
You know, I don't know enough about that specifically, but I know that we are... The way we run things on our planet is for the betterment of all.
Yeah, but who decides that?
Well, I know it's a council.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know how to, in English words, I wouldn't know how to explain. Or actually, I don't have a lot of memories when it comes to the like a governmental body. I just don't know that about my people.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a council because I'm a part of the Faghwian council that's excuse me, that's here on Earth. There's only a couple of us here, and that's all I can say is that I know that we, our activities and our actions are for the better of all on our planet, and that includes a major area of our actual galaxy as well, because we have a love not only for our planet, but other planets around us in our galaxy. As a lot of, it seems like a lot of ETs do. They don't extend it to just their people or their planet.
All right, now, why are you not there? Why are you here?
Well, I did have a regression with Barbara Lamb one time, a couple of years back, about 3 or 4, and I remember being on my ship with my crewmates, who are my guides this time. And let's see, I was near the council, and we were going to go near Earth's orbit, or at least we had Earth in our system. It was up on our system, meaning we were going nearby it or something, or we were collecting data or something. I know that our people do not come here and visit. Our ships are not in the sky like all the others, but we are coming near it for some reason. And that's when we received Earth's call. She actually sent out a call to all beings in the universe, in the galaxy, in the multi-universes that surround her for help in assisting her ascension. And so what I remember doing, I remember that wave, it was a white it was a white light that just penetrated everything as she sent that call out, and it actually made me fall to my knees in the ship. And I could feel her desire for help and her wanting to ascend and how much it meant to her. It was a very deep connection with Earth. And so next thing I remember is actually incarnating. And I know now that why I'm here is to bring my higher frequency, not that it's better, it's just a different frequency, it's higher, to bring it into Earth to help raise the frequency. And I'm not doing it by myself. You know, there are so many ETs here. I think it's like 15% of the population are from elsewhere. And to raise the frequency, and all we really have to do is be here. A lot of people have, you know, very, very specific missions, and everyone seems to be different. But the main purpose is to raise the frequencies of Earth so we can help her ascend.
What would you say if I were to tell you that it's not 15%, but 100%?
I would never argue with anyone about that, but that's not my understanding of it.
What we call the human genome. And, of course, I contend that none of us are human. But, and that's another discussion. But the human genome has been mapped, and they have found that there are 223 genes in the human genome that have no evolutionary predecessors on Earth.
Right.
So they're not from here. That right. would mean that 100% of us are hybrids.
Yeah, that's a lot of history right there, and it goes way, 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 way back. And I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree with it. Like I said, I don't talk about me being someone special or better than anyone else here. I just know that I directly came from a place to be here for a mission, and a lot of us did.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I am not part of the human soul group, and there may lie the difference in that humans were created and helped along by ET races long, long ago, and even up to today's day, they're still being helped. So the genome, like you're saying, you know, has so much of it that comes from other places, but they're the souls that actually incarnate into Earth to grow and evolve, are a human soul group.
Okay.
And go together.
Now let's go back to the shape shifting.
Okay.
Does this? You said it happens involuntarily, right?
Right.
Any idea what brings it on?
Well, they probably don't want me to know that because I'd probably be in that form most of the time if I could help it. But I think higher frequencies do. When you're in an altered state in your sleep, I astral travel a lot, and so I know I'm bringing higher frequencies into my body, and like a lot of people do when they're sleeping, and that was probably just it was meant for me to know, so it happened, and so I learned about it because I was ready for the information.
Has it ever happened to you at an inconvenient time?
Yeah. I was at a MUFON meeting, and the gentleman was talking about the bad reptilians on Earth. Really bad timing. And I was outside on break, when we were all on break, and I felt this high frequency come in. And all of a sudden, my eyes felt very heavy, almost like an itching or a burning sensation. I wasn't quite sure what was going on because I have perfect eyesight. And I wasn't around anyone smoking. I mean, I know what that feels like. And all of a sudden, my friend looked at me and started stuttering. And she never stutters. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" She grabbed me and pulled me aside because she did not want anyone else seeing my eyes had changed. Because they were discussing bad, negative, self-serving reptilians on Earth. And so that was pretty inconvenient. But no one saw me besides her, so I guess that was okay.
All right. That brings up something that's on your website.
Yes.
On your website, you said that you talk about the call went out from the earth, not from someone on the earth, but from the earth itself.
Correct.
And that the earth needed help to ascend.
Uh-huh.
And that ETs from everywhere responded.
Right.
And came to earth, but not all of them came here for that purpose. Some came for self-serving purposes.
Oh, sure.
And then you said, but they shouldn't be feared, and we should view them with love, that we're all the same. But you see, I think that is true. I think we are all the same. They get here with self-serving purposes, and we assume that because they're ET, then, and they have all this advanced technology, that they have somehow transcended all of these negative aspects, or what we think of being negative aspects of humanity, the self-serving side. But they get here, and they have that side of them too.
Sure.
So yeah. How can they help us? How can you help us as an ET? How can you help us if there's no difference?
Well, we all have a spark of life from the soul. It's all from the same source. When you go to origination, we're all from the spark.
Okay, a break just took over, but I want to hear the answer, and we'll come back right there and let you answer. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Okay, we are back, and Jo-Julie, I made you stop right in the middle of a sentence, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, congratulations, by the way, on your rating. I've been on break. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so I was saying we're all connected at source. The two ways in which we can help each other here, the self-serving ones that come in, they really help us by mirroring what we are not. So if you see self-serving actions and you are the type of person who, you know, wants to evolve your soul and be more of the light, then you will see that as a mirror of something you do not want to be. And you don't fear it, you just know that that's not you. And that's how they help. And they really are doing a good job with that.
Yeah, but we have plenty of examples among ourselves.
Oh, yes.
Look at all the narcissism that there is all over this planet, where people think it's all about me. It's all about me. And what can I get? You know, I know people who, and I mean, really, I know people who absolutely do not care what they have to do to you in order to get their way. And they'll do it to anybody.
You're right. We do have a lot of that to learn from, too. But I think what helps people even more is something that strikes fear in their heart, and that it forces them to look at that, and it being shoved in their face. David Icke, you know, putting a lot of information out there of that sort, and it really makes people think and look at it. And if you can not fear it, you know, and just know, well, some people will resonate with that. You know, maybe that's their soul's path. But others will see that that's not who they want to be or where they're going, and choose not to go that route. So that does help a lot of people, besides the other, you know, humans that are doing the same thing. And the beings of light now who came here with their intention of wanting to help Earth evolve and ascend and help the humans evolve and all life on her evolve too, they'll help by just bringing in the higher frequencies. And there's a there's certain characteristics that a lot of ETs of the light that come in with, and that's usually they have more compassion. I'm not saying that humans don't have it. There are beautiful, beautiful humans on Earth. But a lot of the ETs that come in already have these emotions from a child on. They resonate with all life forms. They don't look down on animals or insects. They have a lot of connectivity with things. It's just a... There's just something... a more spiritual connection from birth.
After Hurricane Katrina,
right?
There were National Guard people, National Guard troops in there, there were areas that were restricted, and there were areas where the National Guard guys and gals that were on patrol actually had to wade through water that was nearly waist deep at certain points. And here on this show, we heard a report from the national director of ICAR, which is a UFO paranormal reporting and investigation agency, something like MUFON. And he received a report from a couple of National Guard guys that they were on patrol, and they saw these two upright reptilians walking through the water. They approached them, unslung their guns off of their shoulders, and the next thing they knew, they were walking away from them and didn't know why. Would these have been people from your planet?
No, our people actually don't come here. That's why I've been so feeling so abandoned here, because my people do not come. In fact, the most contact I have is with the various species of gray, and that was probably either the underground reptilians, which would make sense.
Okay, and are they benevolent towards human life, or are they hostile?
Well, I think that's always a perception, depending on who you ask. But I don't know enough about. There's just so much information about it. Some people who've dealt with that have said that they're benevolent unless you enter their territory.
Mm-hmm.
Other people say that they're very evil and work with the military, and maybe there's multiple types and multiple, because there's thousands of species of reptilian, and I know for certain that we do have them underground. I think Donald Ware had a 6-page interview from that someone else did on a female reptilian that lives underground named Lacerna, and I haven't been able to find that, but I really want to. So I'm still learning myself.
Mm-hmm. But that would not be your people.
No, that's not my people, no.
Okay, now, why don't your people come here?
They don't come to planet Earth. They're not ready. Earth is not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, the United States, pretty much still shoots them down ever since Truman's era. And there's only a few countries that even accept them or put it on their news. Earth is just one of those kind of forbidden planets for our people to go to.
Well, I've said on this show that if I were an ET and I'm sitting out there in space,
uh-huh.
And we've got our road map, our star map out, and I'm saying, well, where to next, guys? And someone points to Earth. I take a quick look at the database on Earth and see what it's like here. I think there's no possible way I would be interested in coming here.
Right. You're right, and that's unfortunately, you know, it's a 3D planet, and it's I'm going back between my ET identity and my human identity. It's a place that is still evolving, and this is the key. The technology on this planet is not balanced with spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. And that's why it's receiving so much help. But that's also why a lot of ETs won't come here. You know, the universal law of non-interference, some ETs will not interfere at all, or others have found ways around that because of soul contracts made before people have come back and incarnated here. So, I mean, it's hard to say, because I can't speak for all the other ETs that are out there. I'm still learning about my own people, but I know my people do not come here. They've only sent a couple of us here. I think only five of us came here at that time of the call, and then two of them have either died or went back home since then. So there's three of us left now.
So you're here pretty much without support.
That's the way I feel, but but they'll crack me up later, because, you know, I know that they're with me all the time. I always can feel them. We do have telepathic communications. I'm getting better at receiving those visions and messages from them, instead of just getting them in my dream state. Now I'm actually getting them in my awake state. So I'm learning and growing too. The more I accept it, the more they come to me in that way, but not physically, unfortunately.
All right, speaking of physically, have you ever seen yourself in the mirror when you have shapeshifted?
No, but I would love to. I used to draw my reptilian boyfriend when I was 12 years old. I used to draw what he looked like, and I had no idea what I was doing at the time. I just knew what he looked like.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in the second hour, my guest this evening is Jojuli Kuta. 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 I got it right then, didn't I?
That's good.
Kuta. Okay.
It's hard to pronounce.
And Jojuli is telling us about actually being from another planet. Whenever... You told us that you remember being on the ship, and you were passing somewhere near Earth, and the call for help went out from the Earth, not from someone on Earth, but from the Earth itself.
Correct.
You and your crewmates decided to come here. Did you have to get permission for that?
You know, I don't recall that whole process. And it was just me, actually, that came with four others. But my crewmates are actually not here. They are actually my ET guides. They help me through life. In fact, one was my invisible friend when I was younger. So they're not actually incarnate here. They're watching over me. But I don't know if I had to or not. I could see us. I could just speculate that I would have to go to my council and decide, mm-hmm. but I don't remember what happened.
All right. I'm going to open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. You can call that number from anywhere on this planet. 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or Canada, We have a toll-free number that you can use if you need to use a toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. If you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message. The flash message is real simple. You just go over to my website, scroll down, you will see the link that says flash message. Okay? And click that. You can send a flash message to us, and we'll, provided it's something about what we're talking about here tonight, we'll read it on the air and respond to it. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I understand your guest said that she's from reptorial type society, race. Do you know if you see another reptilian, you know, in a human body, can you identify it? Do you know it's a reptilian or not?
Hi, Terry. No, I'm learning. That's a skill, and I'm learning that skill. I have met a couple that I've seen that have the characteristics. I look for characteristics, and that's the only thing I know to start this, building this skill. So I've only seen a couple, and then they've later confirmed to me through someone like a psychic or somebody else that they were. So I'm just trying to build the skill. But no, I can't just look at a picture. If you sent me a picture, I couldn't tell. I'm not that good at it yet.
Yeah, I was wondering, because a lot of people think that our government is, you know, infiltrated with reptilians. And I just wondered if, you know, you could verify that our government's being led by reptilians.
Oh, I gotcha. You know, I also believe that. Yeah, I believe that because I've studied it and researched it. And so I think they're right on about that. And I've heard a lot of channeling from other ETs that have said the same thing. Many times over, but I couldn't look at them. And you know what? I tell you, I cannot look at any of the bushes. I just can't look at them. If they come up on TV, I have to turn away. So that's a sign to me, but I couldn't say for certain. You know,
okay.
So
I got one more question for you. We've had a lot of dates, of calamities, and right now we're going through a period of time, you know, with earthquakes and etc. And the next big date is 2012. Do you know anything about what's supposedly going to happen then? And I'll take the rest of it offline. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there's so much going on right now, actually. We're actually in the shift already. And so there's a lot of things going on Earth that are natural, and then there's a lot of things that are unnatural that people are not being told, that are secret government, shadow government type of activity going on with HARP and underground sonar stuff that's affecting all the whales, and all the birds are going wild. There's so much happening, and no one actually knows what's going to happen, but I think it'll be different for everybody based on their experiences in life, their spirituality. Wherever they're at in life, it'll be different for them. A lot of people are leaving already, just like in Katrina. That was probably their shift for them, you know, leaving. But we're definitely in it already.
All right. Terry, thank you for the call. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. I have a flash message from Germany. During the commercial breaks, what people hear on the radio is different from what happens on the TV channel. Okay? On the TV channel, there's a spot that plays where you see this beautiful jungle waterfall coming down into a lagoon. And I have to tell you, I was the cameraman. I was standing in the lagoon filming that. It's a marvelous place. But the captions on the video spot say, there is beauty in every country, and wonderful people. So Ralph in Germany has written, and he says, he quotes that, and he says, "No good reason for ETs to visit our planet?" Well, let me tell you something. There are wonderful people and beautiful things to see in every country.
Sure.
But having lived in a whole bunch of those countries, I can tell you some of them, you don't want to go there if you don't have proficiently armed guards. There are some wonderful people there, and there's some beautiful stuff to see, but there's also in some of those places really serious bandits that intend on robbing you and or capturing you and or killing you. So, you know, there are some places that just because it's beautiful and just because there's wonderful people there doesn't mean that's a good place for you to go.
Sure.
All righty then. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan.
Hello, and hello, Josely. How are you?
Good, Stefan. How are you?
Great. Good. I was wondering, I have two questions for you. Well, three, but I'll get them real quickly. If you come from another planet and you've incarnated here, I was wondering if you brought any immunity or vulnerability to various diseases, or do you have any special allergies here on this planet?
You know, that's one thing about the reptilian species. They're very athletic and very seem to be very healthy, besides some of the other races, like insectoids, seem to have a lot of problems with their immunities and stuff. So I guess I don't have any allergens at all that I know of, and I guess I feel blessed that way, but I guess that's a part of my reptilian side too. So I guess the answer would be yes.
Okay. Also, has realizing this created any problems for, well, this is kind of a personal question, I hope you don't mind answering it.
No.
Has it created any problems with intimacy in regards to you and other people? Or do you feel that you're unable to connect with other people from Earth?
Yeah, that's actually a sad thing. This is like a coming out, just like, you know, when you're gay and you come out and you lose friends, you lose family because your identity has taken a different path. Whatever path is best for you, you take it. And sometimes you do lose people too on paths, and it's okay. I've been through it before when I came out when I was 14, so I've been through it. I know how it goes. And I also, you know, lost some close friends too, where they just don't connect to me like they used to. But I've made other friends. A lot of my star family here on Earth, I mean star family is in other people, other star seeds and hybrids here, like Cynthia, of course. She's one of my best friends. You know, we've really connected and become a family ourselves. So
okay.
It has its plus, too.
And the last question is, do you have any feelings towards any sort of future mass landings and contact? Do you think that will occur in our future?
You know, I don't know if it will. A lot of... I've got the feeling that a lot of people here are being trained in their sleep time to fly these ships. And that during the times when we shift, or there's a mass shift of humans together, that they'll actually be helped by the people here on the planet that have been trained to fly them off or help them. So I don't see a big mass like the television V. I don't see that mass landing, but, you know, I don't know. In a way, I kind of want it to happen myself just because it'd be really cool, but I don't really know. I don't think anyone knows for certain.
Well, let me ask you this. If there was a ship passing near this planet, from your planet, and they sent you a message that says, hey, you know, if you want to hitchhike back home, you can ride with us, would you do it?
You know, since I hit the age of 30... I've not wanted to be here any longer,
mm-hmm.
and so I probably would, because, You know, it's been a long time of waiting for something to happen. And I feel good enough in my heart that I've done the best I can do because I live out of my heart. And there's a few people that I'd really, really miss that I cherish and adore and love. But I would go home.
So you think you would go?
I know I would. If I could take my dog Katrina, I would go.
Okay, now what if you get back there and here you are in a human body? Everybody else has reptilian features and they've got a tail and, you know, you're in a human body. Would you feel out of place?
Oh, I would be pretty embarrassed, I guess. Yeah, but I don't know how that would work. I don't know if the DNA part of me that's the reptilian would actually at that point come out, because my planet is not a 3D planet. So it would bring out the other vibrations in my body. If my body right now as a hybrid could handle that change, then it would probably change.
All right, now when you were growing up, obviously at some point, sometime during your life growing up, you have been to a doctor.
Sure.
At some point, you've probably had blood tests. Did they see anything different?
No. The blood tests that I've had were for just, just to determine your blood type, I've never been injured or sick to the point where they had to go in and do anything invasive or check things out or...
What do you think they would find?
I don't really know. I've actually wondered that myself, you know, if there was anything different. I know when I've had my hand read before by someone who I trust, because they've done it, I just trust them completely. When they read my hand, they couldn't find the connection to my organs in the palm. They had to kind of feel around a little bit more, and then they eventually found it. It was off from where it normally is. So I don't really know if that had anything to do with it, but I guess I've just been healthy enough I've never had to go that route. I know my blood type, but that's about it. I've never heard anything come back different. And they just scoff those things off anyway, usually, because it's too embarrassing for them to have something they can't explain.
Okay, let me check our flash message board. I've got one here. I think it's pronounced Paulus from Estonia. Wants to know, and I'm going to shorten this down because it's very, very wordy, but I'm just going to shorten it down into its essence since we're talking about DNA. He says, we heard Cynthia talk about being ET human hybrid, and that she was able to have a son, and wouldn't this mean with a whole bunch of ET human hybrids on the planet that eventually they can take over the whole planet simply by breeding?
Well, I shouldn't laugh. That's a good question, but you have to remember that there's no these beings come from all over, and they didn't. Now these beings are most of these beings. Well, I can speak for me and Cynthia, of course, are beings of light. We didn't gather in a meeting before coming and say we're gonna. Of course, I don't have any children. We're gonna come down here and breed and take over. That's not the intention. Not from beings of light that came here, or the ETs of light. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of them to have children. You know, some do, some don't. A lot of them don't actually want children in this lifetime, because that goes against their purpose and mission here. And so I've never even thought of that, actually.
I have to admit, I had not either. But it's a good point. It's a good point.
But it's a point, it's kind of looking at the fear side of it, you know, thinking about how they will take over. The ones you have to watch for are the ones that are already here. And that's the self-serving reptilians that are that you want to be careful of. Don't fear them, but those are the ones you'd have to be on your toes with, not the ones that voluntarily came here after Earth called for help. Those aren't the ones you want to be concerned of.
How can we tell the difference?
Well, that's a good point, too. And a lot of people are learning how to feel with their intuition because it's in your solar plexus area. When you come across something that doesn't resonate with you, you will feel it. It's all energy. Everything's energy. But the thing is, you have to believe that you can feel it, because if you don't already believe that you have that ability, then you'll never feel anything. But law enforcement, people in law enforcement will definitely tell you they react to that gut feeling, and it saved their lives. And they've learned to listen to it and to use it. And it's very real.
You used to work in law enforcement, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I actually tried that for 4 years.
What did you do?
I was a cop, and the only reason I joined is because that's a part of my job on my home planet, is a part of the universal policing. It's a group of allied beings from many areas that group together to help and assist and protect people that need it, that want it. And so I thought I would do that same role here. Very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very different. I learned my lesson.
Well, that's what I did before I was a talk show host. I was a cop. And I was international police, which is as high as you can go on this planet. And so I'm glad to hear there's something called universal police. Maybe I'll try that next.
Well, there you go. There's your next step up.
Yeah.
You've done international. Now you can do universal.
I mean, would they give me like a UFO with a light bar on the top and a siren?
Oh, that'd be cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've got a flash message here from, let me see, Jan, I guess it's pronounced Jan, in Norway, and he wants to know, what do you mean by when you say Earth ascending?
As souls, and Gaia, you know, Mother Earth is definitely a soul too. There's the natural desire as a soul is to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our different paths that take us there eventually. And some, you know, that's why I don't judge anyone for where they're at the moment, because I know they too are ascending in their own way, in their own time for themselves. And Earth herself is ascending to the fourth or the fifth dimension. And it's just a higher frequency, the next step up in her evolution. And that's what we call ascend. It's just a shifting upward.
And you said this is already happening?
It's already going on. The Schumann's resonance of Earth is going up all the time. And, you know, we've seen it in the way that Earth moved in her crusts and her activities of the Earth, you know, moving and cracking and exploding. A lot of that, like I said, is not natural, of course, but a lot of it is. And there's just, it's definitely shifting. A lot of very sensitive people, like psychics and so forth, clairvoyance, clairaudience and all that, they can sense these things are moving and the energies are changing.
Why would you view that as ascension as opposed to destruction?
Because when I look at life, I choose to look at it as a positive upward movement. And of course, there's going to be things that look like it's all a matter of perspective. It's how you choose to look at life.
Mm-hmm.
You can see things through victim's eyes and see destruction and catastrophe and harm and fear and violence, which of course is real for a lot of people. But I see it as these are growing pains, and yes, I have great empathy for those people who feel they are suffering. But it's growing pains. We're shifting, we're moving. When energy rises, the lower frequencies cannot contain themselves in bodies and in the earth, and they have to be, they're brought up to the surface as you're raising your frequency, you will bring illness and dis-ease out of your body, because it cannot survive in a higher frequency body. And some people will view that as destruction. I view it as something beautiful. It's a release. It's a letting go, so that you can move up and on.
So you sort of adopt the silver lining in every cloud kind of perspective.
Right, I try to look at everything with love and with light and compassion. And, you know, I have my problems too. You know, I have emotions that I deal with here on Earth. But I try to be the best that I can be, and I always try to be aware of what I'm doing, what I'm putting out, what kind of energy I'm putting out as an individual, and, you know, be self-responsible for that. You know, everything I say and think is energy, and it goes out, and it has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I try to see everything that way, right?
Well, out of every tragedy, there are things that arise that are hopeful, and even there are some very positive things that come out of every tragedy. But of course, for those to whom the tragedy befalls, it's just a tragedy. But there are silver linings in every cloud. All right, we'll be back after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back, and my guest this evening, Jojali Kuta. Did I do it right that time?
Perfect.
Okay. During the break, a couple of things happened. We had a telephone call coming in, and I don't answer the telephone during the break, because every time I do that and put somebody on hold, they hang up, and then when I get ready to bring them on the air, I get a dial tone. So, if you were calling during the break, please feel free to call again, 623-444-5889, or the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. The second thing that happened is I got a flash message from Australia, and I'm having a terrible time with names tonight. This is either Tika or Teka? T-E-K-A. How would you say that, Jojali?
Teka.
Teka? Okay.
I would, but I don't know if I'd be right.
Well, if we said it wrong, we are very much apologetic. But anyway, Teka from Australia wants to know, where is that lagoon? It is beautiful. That lagoon is on the island of East Timor. It is in the jungle just outside of a town, a village called Watalari. That was my swimming hole whenever I was international police in East Timor. Okay, so that's, we would always go in there and go swimming, and then the village kids would always be down there fishing. So that's some of the village kids you see in that spot. All right, now let me also remind folks around the world that if you don't want to make the international long distance call to call us, it will work if you want to do it. 623-444-5889. We'd be delighted to hear from you. But if you don't want to do that, you can use this flash message feature on my website. You have to be outside the USA and outside of Canada. But click that link, and we'll get your flash message, all right? All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. My name is Ralph. I'm calling from Germany.
Ah, Ralph, we read your flash message.
Yes, I did, and you answered to it. Thanks for that. But I'd like to ask a second question to that subject.
Okay.
And that is, what makes you so certain that our planet is the negative exception from the rule in the universe regarding bad people everywhere, in almost every place? Who can tell that this is not the rule? You see, you said it would be a reason not to visit our planet.
Oh, okay. So the question is for me?
Yeah.
I'm a cop. I've spent most of my life dealing with the worst people on the planet. So I have that view of the planet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if I were on a spacecraft and I was passing somewhere near Earth and someone said, let's go to Earth, and I pulled up the database and it showed all this stuff that I happen to know about because of having been a cop, if it showed all that, I'd say, nah, I think we'll pass on this one.
Okay, that's our way to perceive it.
Mm-hmm. Well, admittedly, because that's the only way, we can only perceive how we perceive. I've spent a good part of my law enforcement career dealing with the people you see in the news that they call terrorists and gangsters.
Right.
And
but
so
the question, mm-hmm. I think the essence of my question is, who can tell that this what happens on our planet isn't the rule out there? You see, it's also possible that there is even more evil
mm-hmm.
in the universe,
mm-hmm.
and that might be the rule there.
You're right.
Than on our planet. So why not visit this one?
Well, a bunch of them apparently are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you make a good point. And I sort of made that point earlier when I said, just because they have advanced technology doesn't mean that they're really advanced
right,
beyond us. They may be just like us.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Ralph, I got to ask you, what part of Germany are you in?
Well, it's the northern part. It's a town called Lübeck. It's in the Hamburg area, but it's the Baltic Sea.
Have you ever called us before?
Yes, I did.
Did I play any applause for you?
No, you did not.
Well, I must. Ralph, thank you so much for the call.
You're very welcome.
All right. Wow, there you go. Called from Germany. Jojali, what about that? I mean, you know, Ralph and I both have brought up the same notion, and that is, just because other planets have advanced technology doesn't necessarily mean that they are advanced people.
Sure. I mean, the universe, gosh, it's so expansive. It's so, there's so much of everything out there. I mean, you know, we hardly know everything about even the Milky Way. It's huge. And then Andromeda, my galaxy, is 1.5 times the size. And then that's the only two that are neighbors. I mean, you know, everyone's seen those Hubble pictures where it's just galaxy after galaxy after galaxy
mm-hmm.
shot. There's just so much. And he's exactly correct that there's a whole bunch of, you know, 3D planets out there doing the same thing. You know, evolving and growing and going through their changes. And, you know, the big thing that's exciting about this right now on Earth is that our sun and the solar system is all changing. And it's not just Earth, it's the whole solar system. And so it'll change a lot. And it's like a big movie that everyone wants to see and be a part of. That's why there's so many souls incarnate on Earth right now. You know, everyone wants to be a part of this because it'll actually give them a new frequency in their, like in their core soul. They'll come away from this experience with a new layer of light around them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to combine a couple of things that we've talked about.
Okay.
In order to give us the background for the question. One of our callers asked about 2012, and this is something that a lot of people are very, very concerned about. Personally, I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. I think that the period of time we're in right now, leading up to December 21st, 2012, that's the big deal. I think December the 21st, 2012 marks the end of an age and the beginning of a new one. And so it's very chaotic now as we lead up to that date. I could be wrong about this, but
I agree with you.
That's my view of it, my perception of it. But a lot of people are very, very concerned about that.
That's
okay.
What they want.
Hmm?
That they want people to be concerned about it.
They who?
Well, I would only call them like the people who control the media and, you know, who say what they want the people to know and not know. Shadow government, Illuminati, whatever people want to call them, cabal.
Uh-huh.
You know, they want people to fear because energy attracts like energy. You know, there's a certain part of the world, the shadow government side, it's not just our government, it's all over the world, does not want people to evolve and to grow and to come into their own power. They want to keep the frequencies low, and that's a very easy way. They know how to manipulate human emotions and feelings. You keep people in fear, their energies will remain low.
I agree with that. And, you know, you were a cop, I was a cop, and both of us had pretty much the same training because it is standardized across the country, pretty much.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that they always teach you is don't threaten anyone. Because if you say, I'm going to kick your backside, you may have to. They may make it where you have to. On the flip side of that, whenever somebody would tell me, if you weren't standing there with that badge and didn't have those handcuffs, I'd do this or that. One of these days, I'm going to kick your rear. My response always was, what are you waiting on, an appointment? You don't have to have an appointment. I'm here right now. And the reason for that is what they're trying to do by threatening is they are trying to instill fear in you and make you uncertain about your decision.
Right.
And my response always was, hey, you might win. On the other hand, if you don't, you're going to the hospital before you go to jail.
And you'll have a lot more charges on you.
Well, that's right. But the deal was, you know, hey, you don't have to have an appointment. I'm standing here looking at you. What are you waiting for? Okay, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Mike.
I'm Mike from Kentucky, all right?
And I think you said the lady's name is Joshalee.
That's right.
That's perfect.
And greetings, Joshalee.
Greetings.
And is this synchronicity or what? We're having ABC series on radio, TV showing reptilians, you know, and here we're talking about reptilians.
I don't have TV, so I don't know.
And you're very much correct, in my opinion, that you're not the only one. There's many of us here who have awakened in this incarnation to what's coming about, in my opinion. And the Light Center is opening, and I think that's exactly what you're talking about.
And what did you call it?
The Light Center Within Us.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot choosing that path, but there's a lot that aren't choosing that path too.
It will come when it will come.
That's right. Yeah, when they're ready.
You know, it's like a flower. When the time comes, it'll open on its own.
Right. Some bloom in winter and some bloom in summer.
Exactly, but we're all part of the same family.
But idiots bloom all the time. I had to say that because that is something that my grandmother used to say. She used to say, some flowers bloom in the winter, some flowers bloom in the summer, but idiots bloom all the time.
Oh, well, I think what really matters is regardless of who blooms when and what they are, is that we send each other, you know, love. And that doesn't mean this physical thing that we send people. There's that degree, that it's the energy that I'm talking about. It's how we treat people and without judgment. And when you do that, that flower is so much brighter when it blooms.
Exactly. And I'll share this with you, and then I'll let you go for others. But
okay.
I learned a long time ago that, especially back when there was a lot of talk about the little grays coming and snatching people out of their beds at night.
Mike, you're going to hang on and tell us that after the break, all right?
I sure will.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on Final Approach. We only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. We have Mike from Kentucky on hold. I hope you're still there. You still there, Mike?
Sure am.
Okay, you just started to tell us something.
Yes, there's a biblical injunction which goes, resist not evil, and it will flee from you. Don't struggle against it, because in doing so, you cause yourself problems. But I found long ago when I would feel these presences when I didn't want them, that rather than resist and do all this, I would just relax, open my heart center, and let the light from within and love flow outward. And it's a known fact that darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. So I would never have that problem. I don't have those problems anymore.
Well, that was so beautifully said. And you know what? People really need to hear that. And it's so true. You are right on it. You know, when you send out, when you open up and send out love like that, the darkness flees because you're not attracting like energy at that point. And they don't like to be in that. And so they will flee. And I've, you know, well, since a child, I haven't had any problems with that in my entire life as well.
All right. Mike, I want to thank you for the call. We've got a couple of flash messages in during the break, and we need to get to those before we run out of time. This one's pretty long, and it's very interesting. I simply don't have time to read it all on air. But here's the question from Leonardo in Puerto Rico, who, by the way, is an ex-cop, too. Hi, Kevin. Interesting guess. She stated that she was reptilian in part. Are there good reptilians? I thought all reptilians were mean.
And that's a key also with my helping people and reaching out and coming out like I am with the book and everything, is to teach people that, yes, you know, Earth knows and the people of Earth know the self-serving reptilians, but there are so many different species and, you know, there's very loving ones as well. You know, all my friends could tell you that there are very much loving ones. In fact, since they met me, sometimes either my people or other reptilians will come to them because at that point they were ready. So I think there's balance in all species.
I think so too. Also, Leonardo commented, he said, you made me laugh with that blooming flower joke. Good joke, by the way, and a good picture of the Mrs. and the kid. Thank you very much. The Mrs., well, I think she's beautiful. And I'll tell you this, she's an absolutely beautiful, wonderful person and a lot smarter than I am. That's the truth. And the kid, well, he's a work of art. He... This is a reference to Jo Jolie, to my wife, who is in Thailand, and our son, who is in Thailand. And he just graduated from kindergarten. So, yeah, he's a work of art, I guarantee you. And, you know, he, it's interesting. He lives where everyone speaks Thai. He speaks Thai. He also speaks English. He understands English. But he prefers to speak in Thai. All right? That's because that's where he is, I guess. I mean, you know, everyone around him speaking Thai, so I guess that's why he prefers it. And sometimes refuses to speak to me in English. He will only answer me. He makes his mom translate sometimes. And so that sort of brings up, you know, he's not Thai, nor is he whatever I am. He is half her, half me. I call him Thai-American. So he's a Thai-American. What about you? If you knew enough of the language to be fluent in it, the language of your home planet, would you prefer it or English?
I know I would prefer mine because it's not a English is a very interesting language, and a lot of the languages here, as soon as you speak verbally, you devalue something automatically. And other species that are more evolved, higher dimensions, their language they speak is more of the light, just because it's a higher frequency, and it actually has more definitions and deeper contents of being able to articulate things than languages here on Earth do. So I would definitely more prefer speaking my own language. And I'm learning a little bit of it, but...
Why? You know. Who are you going to speak it with?
That's the thing. I don't have anyone to speak it with. I just, you know, sometimes will catch myself speaking it in my dream state. So it sounds beautiful to me, but... So I guess no one here. You're right.
I didn't want to get you depressed. I just, it was just a question.
I didn't mean to sound that way. But it's true, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it, and I wouldn't be able to speak to anyone here. Maybe my dogs would understand it. I don't know.
Well, and you're right. If you don't use it, you do lose it. You know, Spanish is one of the languages that I speak, and I speak it a little bit every day because of where I live. I'm out in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and, you know, you're in the Tucson area. So, you know, there are loads and loads of folks that speak Spanish.
Right.
But I also speak Serbian. And I also speak a little bit of Russian. I speak Romanian. I speak Tetun. Except, since there's no one around me that I can speak these with, I find that I'm losing them. And, you know, it's been years now since I've been immersed in a society where they were speaking, say, Serbian. Therefore, you know, but I do find this. If I go on the internet and watch Serbian television, within just a few minutes, I'm back in the swing of it and I'm understanding it. If I watch Romanian television, I'm back in the swing of things in a few minutes and I understand it. So I wonder if you were to go back home to your planet, would that happen? Would you just sort of, oh yeah, yeah, now I remember and pick it up and speak, do you think?
Yes, because consciously I'm getting little bits and pieces come in, like Tesejana. Means my beloved, and when I speak it, I don't know what I'm saying, but certain words I will, like Jordani is a ship, like a UFO, people would say, it's a ship, one of our ships, but I know at the subconscious level, I already know it,
mm-hmm.
So if I were to go back, subconsciously it would just kick into my conscious, and I would know it.
How did you say it means beloved?
Tisegena?
When you said that, it immediately made me think of how you say it in Thai. It's T-Rock. Okay, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
I can't say that I have ever interviewed a reptilian before.
Well,
at least I didn't know it.
They probably didn't know it either.
If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment as I close the show. Thank you very, very much for being with us again.
You are welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That is Jojuli. Let me work on it. Cuta. And you will be able to click her picture on the website. We've had a little bit of difficulty with the software again to get that picture up on the website. But we'll have that repaired shortly after the show. And you can click her picture. It'll take you to her website. It's been a fabulous week. We've got a fabulous week coming up next week, and I hope you'll be here for every show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.